Vinny Eastwood is, of course, in New Zealand, and he's joining us on the line now, the louder side of genocide.
Good night, Patrick.
Hello, Vinny. How are you? I can see you, actually. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Don't I look fabulous?
Yeah, as always, my friend, as always. As always. What's going on in your part of the world over there?
Well, had an American ask me the other day how expensive is farmland down here in New Zealand, and I said, let me put it like this. The only people who can afford to buy farmland in New Zealand are giant Chinese conglomerates and James Cameron.
Oh, yeah. What's the crack with James Cameron? Why is he buying up such huge swathes of land there? Is he fearing that the West will collapse?
Well, allegedly... that's what's been going around and what's happening now in the elite circles, basically, is they're all fleeing the United States like rats leaving a sinking ship. They all know that something bad is going down. United States citizenships are getting rescinded at a rate never seen before. And you know that something's going wrong when James Cameron moves to New Zealand. I mean, it's just that simple. Especially if he's buying a massive lifestyle block farm and is actually planning to run it as a farm. You wonder whether or not he's actually doing it to secure his food supply for the collapse. And I was talking to my friend who's a deer stalker, treasurer of the Deer Stalkers Association last night. And I was thinking that what's going to happen is people are of the theory that New Zealand's going to be kind of, I don't know, left alone to an extent during this big fracking collapse. But I'm of the opinion, and I could be wrong, and I certainly hope I am. I always hope that I'm wrong, is that the elite are going to come here, and it's going to be like basically their little holiday island paradise. They'll be left alone, while all the rest of the New Zealand slaves are all going to be, well, basically, in complete total bondage and chaos and food shortage and the whole nine yards, basically.
So we have lots of riots planned in England, as you know. The shock troops are training to deal with the British public should they get a bit naughty and out of hand like they did with the false flag riots, if you like, last year. And I actually bumped into a guy at a club who was a third-generation Freemason and said, yep, we're training to deal with the British public. I'm like, excuse me? And it's in the Telegraph as well, the training, the parachute regiment. I mean, these are the guys that go in and gun you down at a civil rights march in Northern Ireland. You know, these guys don't muck about. And so we're all getting toughed up for the Olympics as well, 35,000 troops, etc. I mean, I saw a lady in California today. She was saying, "What WTF, I've just seen an army checkpoint stopping people." It seems to be on the increase, doesn't it? Before, I was going to ask you if you had any incidents like that in New Zealand. Before, we used to get little dribs and drabs of odd situations happening, like Ukrainian troops or French troops stopping people in cars in Scotland. And that was all a bit strange, you know. And no warning. But I wondered if there was anything like that happening where you are, Vinny.
No troops of foreigners rocking around, as far as I know. But we're a colony, so whatever troops are here, they all work for foreigners anyway. And in fact, that came up in conversation the other night, is that New Zealand is a very small military, and it's, you know, in a small town, how people don't pull any punches, you know, that they're straight up with you. Allegedly, our military is like that. Whenever people are given illegal orders or anything like that, there's no, I'm going to follow them just because I'm being ordered. It's like, nah, mate, bugger off. That's the kind of New Zealand military mentality, allegedly. And so, you know, people have been confident that even if our military is, you know, ordered to suppress everybody, it just ain't going to happen because, hey, they understand what it means to protect New Zealand. And part of that is not policing New Zealand because, hey, military and police, there's a reason why two of them are different and separate. It's because the military are trained to kill and the police are trained to keep the peace. You're not supposed to have them doing each other's jobs. police ain't supposed to kill people, and the military ain't supposed to keep the peace. I think it's pretty straightforward like that, you know. Everybody has a role, everybody has a job, and you do it because you're being paid to, I guess.
Exactly. Do you know Rose from thecontrail.com, Vinny, over there in New Zealand?
I had her on the show Friday.
Oh, sorry to spring this on you, but she's just about to rush out because she's got to help an old lady, bless her. So I wondered if we could bring her in for 5 minutes just to have a quick chat with us and like a group call. Would that be okay? And then we'll get right back to you and what your issues.
Well, it's your show, Patrick. Just bring her on together.
Great. Okay. Rose, if you're listening, please hang on, stay on the line there, and we'll try and bring you in.
Yeah, we did have quite an interesting call with Rose on Friday, and people can actually have a look for that. Rose Page plus Vinny Eastwood, if you just Google that, you should be able to come up with the archive we did with her on Friday. There's a lot of stuff going on down in New Zealand, and Rose kind of seems to be at the forefront down there in the South Island, ironically. And, yeah, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of scary things. And indeed, even a mobile harp ship is cruising around New Zealand at the moment. And the research council that's actually in charge of that, allegedly, are people like people who are former employees of like United States Space Command and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
The people who actually built HAARP.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I know Rose did go over some of the people behind this HAARP operation in New Zealand. It was a very good article. Rose, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, mate. How you doing? Hey, Vinny.
I'm good.
Hey,
I'm
Rose.
Good, thank you. You know Vinny, of course. You had a good old chin wag on the radio the other week.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Vinny's. Have been for a long time.
So you're blasted with HAARP over there. So you're both quite familiar with the operation that's happening there now. What are they moving around, or are they just parked for a while?
Well, actually, I discussed this on Vinny's show the other day, Patrick. But we finally caught the buggers. There was a big radar flare out of the middle of the Cook Strait. So a few of us got our act together and pulled up ship finders and different things. And, you know, we've sussed out that Big Texas, as I've discussed with you before, has moved in to New Zealand. And we've currently got three bloody seismic mapping ships running around our country. And this big radar flare came out, and our friend Weather or Nut, who you all know well, put out a warning. And then within a few hours, the next morning, there was a big quake, 5.7 quake, and then followed it by a 5, which happened after I'd aired with Vinny, in the same area that a ship called Tangaroa was working. And this is a Niwa ship, New Zealand's only seismic mapping ship. I suppose that's a nice way of saying what they are, but yes, certainly it's looking like these oil ships creating some, if not a lot, of the quakes that we're having offshore now. So it's getting interesting, mate. We had a couple of days of really, really intense harping. I'm hypersensitive to these things, as many people are. We had people, heart rates flying through the roof. You know, my resting pulse rate was 87, and that doesn't even put me in the poor category for my age. So, you know, we feel these things coming. I don't know, mate. I'm just over it. We're sick of it. There's people sick everywhere. We had reports from all over New Zealand that day about heart rates, and it's just enough's enough. We haven't seen the sun since.
Vinny, do you feel the effects of this HAARP activity and electromagnetism yourself?
Well, I live in the opposite end of the country, so no.
Right, right. And so there's obviously nothing in the papers. I mean, people must be tuning in for the first time here. What the hell are these people talking about? Surely this would be in the papers, eh?
Oh, yeah. In the papers, right. Yeah. Ever look at this. Editorial. Government needs to clear up food bill doubts. Information vacuums offer fertile territory for alarmists. The more that issues are left unanswered, the more traction they stand to gain. Right, this is the editorial trying to basically dismiss everybody who's critical of the New Zealand food bill, which is Codex Alimentarius, which is Monsanto employees, which is Blackwater, which is coming onto your property with zero warrants and having zero accountability, as in, you know, they can shoot you and be immune from criminal prosecution. No kidding. And this guy calls us alarmists. Well, for frack's sake, if some scumbag with a gun can come onto my property because I am sharing a cabbage with my neighbour, I think I have justification to be alarmed.
You alarmist. I think you're being an alarmist there. I think Vinny's overreacting a bit there.
No, I don't.
Alarmist.
It's unbelievable.
It's nuts. I mean, I've seen on Rose's site, Rose runs the contrail.com, the contrail.com, and of course, please look at the Vinnie Eastwood show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Australia becomes first to ban travellers who refuse naked body scanners. Rose has this posted on a site from the activist post. Australia continues trying to outdo America's march towards authoritarian control over its population. Yes, like a race, isn't it? The two countries seem to be trading sabres to see which one can eradicate the rights of their citizens faster. How's it going in New Zealand, chaps?
Oh, it's pretty interesting, that one, isn't it? We've had a couple of incidences actually down under here, and Vinny will confirm this, but we had Gillard, the Prime Minister, female, of course, of Australia. There was a setup of media, basically, and she's seen falling to her knees, and everybody runs in to grab her, and, you know, it's set up as though they're running from big, bad protesters. And the same thing happened with the Waitangi celebrations. We had quite an interesting scene there, didn't we?
What are the protesters going to do? Strangle her with their dreadlocks?
Exactly. But what's going on, Vinny? What do you think this is? I mean, these are obvious setups. It's certainly the one at Waitangi with John Key, with all his bodyguards around him, standing there saying, "I'm not scared." You know, men in black everywhere. It was just ludicrous. And
I have 100 bodyguards and I'm not scared. Well, frack! What necessitated the 100 bodyguards if it wasn't fear, you scumbag? And hey, in fact, get this. This is great. I often call John Key a scumbag at protests and stuff like that, and a lot of protesters in this country listen to my show. And as John Key was leaving Waitangi, getting into his car, somebody screamed out and called him a scumbag.
Nice.
And one of my listeners then posted that the link to that article from, and that was actually reported in the New Zealand Herald, as in, you know, John Key got into his car and somebody yelled out, "Scumbag!" And one of my listeners, I think it was Chris Wardle, he posted it on my Facebook wall and said, "Vinny, listener of yours?" And I said, "Well, quite conceivably."
Oh, come, Mr. Scumbag.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is John Key engages in copious quantities of scumbaggery all day long, every day. He doesn't know how to be a nice guy. He doesn't know how to not be a sociopath. So I feel that it's quite, I think people should really dog him wherever he goes. You know, I think harassment is completely justifiable if somebody is destroying your country. You know, and this was before the election last year. People were asking me what I thought would happen, and I said, well, John Key's been sent here to destroy this country, and he's not finished yet, hence he's going to be re-elected. And what happened? Oh, yeah, that's right. He got re-elected. The lowest voter turnout since, like, 1886.
And he still got elected. Well, I mean, these people are chosen well before we've ever heard of them. I mean, we live on an island in England. And it's often, without the internet, you know, we'd probably still be in the dark ages. We don't really pay much attention to what else is going on in the world, except that we wonder why there's the most cameras in any country as you walk around. And you can get a £2,000 fine for dog poo And generally, we can't understand most people, in the false reality. I haven't made the step through yet. Don't understand why things are becoming tighter and tighter and tighter. And we are talking about a new world order agenda here. I mean, this chap is a front man, obviously, as the same here with Karen and the opposing parties, etc. And they're there to take the crap from the public. So it, although they must be exposed and harassed and de-scumbagged, people have to look a bit further at the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Council on Foreign Relations, that set the policy globally. I mean, after 9/11, you have the same laws being passed in every country. And as Alan Watt from Cutting Through the Matrix clearly spells out, that takes years of bureaucracy, years and years of sitting down with notepads and pens. It doesn't happen overnight. It was all set up and ready to go. So it's great to be able to talk to somebody from the other side of the world with the same laws coming in. It's nuts.
Yeah, that's what I love about the new world order, is because we're all being oppressed, and so it binds us together in a quite literal fashion, in terms of fisticuffs. The problem I have with being in New Zealand and not being able to travel out, like I'm not able to, because of my previous drug convictions when I was like 19 or something like that. Nobody will ever let us out. I find that I have to connect with people all over the world on an almost consistent basis. And as a New Zealander, I don't know whether or not people actually give a flying F about what happens down here, unless it actually relates to them. But the convenient thing, as I said, about the New World Order is that the same things are going on. Okay, if you've got a corrupt prime sinister, hey, we've got a corrupt prime sinister. Have you got fluoride in the water? Hey, we've got fluoride in the water. Have you got chemtrails? Yeah, we've got chemtrails. Mate, we're like brothers. We're like this because we're both screwed. Well, and I think it's usually the best friends you have are the ones that you go through hard times with.
I mean, Rose, I mean, for people listening to this type of show for the first or perhaps a third time or fifth time, starting to get an overall picture of people's concerns, what would you say to them if it's all a bit too much information? What would you say to them on how to deal with absorbing this agenda?
Well, I would say to them, it's been going on a long, long time. So if you are in fear, just understand that that's because you've woken. Vinnie and I discussed this the other day. The fear process is necessary. Try not to hold on to it too long, though. It's been going on a while. Understand that. And then just understand it's time to change it. Forget about the fear. Had enough of it, Patrick. You know, I'm off today. I'm off very shortly, actually, so I'll be leaving you in a tick. But to help a lady that I know do some gardening around her place, because, you know, her body no longer works the way it did 3 years ago. I'm having the same problems. I have microwave sickness and radiation poisoning, and I have trouble pulling weeds out of my garden now. You know, I'm going there to help her clean up because she's having a house inspection because of some snotty neighbour who decided that she's got too many weeds. Just enough, you know. Join with your neighbours. Join hands. Let them know what's going on. People either have the ears to hear or they don't. Don't waste your time with those that don't.
Well, wise words, Rose. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Patrick.
It is time to talk to your neighbours a bit more, and the people that go down the street that you've never spoken to, I make a point of it now. And it's good to hear that you're doing that, and I'm sure she appreciates it. There should be more of that going on. And there is a kind of... are you still with us, Rose?
Yes, I am, Patrick.
There is a mentality now that's being encouraged, pretty much like you got in Hitler's Europe, where everybody kind of spies on each other or complains about each other or uses the law to exact revenge, however primitive, you know, however silly. But this seems to be on the increase. I have problems like that myself.
Fear is the great demotivator. And I think what happens is people, if they want to wake up to something, they ultimately have to feel that nasty hand of the state or something like that. Something bad has to happen to you, and you have to identify your enemy and before you start waking up and go, whoa, whoa, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. Maybe I should start doing something about it. But if you are somebody who has been very successful with the system, you've made yourself a decent chunk of change, you've never had your face planted into the sidewalk by a jackbooted thug wearing a badge, somebody comes up and tells you there's something really badly wrong with society, you just go, no, there's not. Everything's fine with me. On the other hand, if you are poor, if you have been screwed over many times, if you'd have police lie on your statements even after you've told them the full truth and fully admitted all your guilt and they still lie, as happened to me, it just goes, yeah, there is something wrong with society. But, hey, it just takes something bad to happen to you before you really, really wake up. And that's the unfortunate thing about it, really, is why can't people just become enlightened without suffering? Why
agreed.
Is
agreed. Absolutely agreed, Vinny. And this is what's happened here. You know, we see that with all the carnage that our friends in Christchurch have been through. It needed to happen to them. In the meantime, there are very few people talking about what's happening in Christchurch because they're too busy shopping and watching television to give a shit. So on that note, I'm going to go, gentlemen, lovely to catch you, albeit briefly, but again, priorities, reach out, guys, reach out to your neighbours. It might not be happening to you today, but it will be happening.
All right, enjoy your shopping, Rose.
That's great. Great to speak to you again, Rose. Good luck now.
Shopping. Okay, fellas.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible like that.
We were talking about...
Speaking of terrible like that, have you seen the Super Bowl Mad Horus Madonna?
Yeah, I did saw that. I did see that, yeah.
So the breakdown with Mark Dice. I love it. She's wearing this Baphomet headdress. It's with the devil. It's real freak.
You're breaking up a bit, Ro. You're breaking up a bit there, Vinny. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Let's see. Is that...
I'll tell you what, we'll take a music break if possible, Kat, if you can still hear me okay. We'll take a music break and we'll see if we can get Vinny sorted out. He's just breaking up a bit there. How's that, Vinny?
I can't... Can you hear me?
Yes, well, we can hear you, yeah, but you're breaking up.
Okay, just reconnect me then.
Okay.
Put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record when the drum beats go like this.
The only way that a human being can get a bird flu or a swine flu is if it is injected in them.
So how did we get swine flu then?
It's been made in a factory and injected.
The record, cause the needle is defective, and the needle breaks the record when the needle is the method for prevention of the fever, bringing death to the receiver. There's no effort in believing that the method feeds the fever. See the leader, diseases are invented in the lab. One believes it on reading recent mentions of the jab, centered in a grand scab of corruption and lies, and taking views of doom from newsroom into the public eye. But now the floor has risen on a cause of autism. Doctors show research, and scores applaud with them. It's mercury and vaccines. Often there's more given, peace ignored, and forbidden, cause profit is war-driven. A score billion on vaccines alone, and the government don't care, they're always taxing the clones. And the CDC is right behind this rolling car, part involved from the start in this evolving art. A big pharma, big deception, Obama, big karma. Enter Wise, Roach, Bayer, and Baxter Healthcare. All assorted history with stacks of health scares. You got HIV and bird flu mixed up in the shops. I've been connecting the dots between the money that swaps. Conspiracy? Yeah, I sense a couple of plots.
If you
you never want to get the swine flu, don't go get the swine flu vaccine.
There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
And if the doctor says he'll make him take it himself, just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
There is one little word that could save your health.
Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
And if Obama says he'll make him take it himself, just say no.
I don't need your prescription, I ain't got no affliction. Corporate pharmaceutical dealing with politicians. Put them on prescription, that should be our own decision. Whether we want spending on vaccines or health and education. Soon they enlist the general populace. They adding to the list pharmaceutical benefits. Yo, Alexa Finline, Glasgow Smith Klein, Hoffman, Mike and Vine, Scaling Senior Disease, Macau, Cough and Little Swine. Your population linked with holding vaccines. Rather let a product lapse and save some human beings. Now death is a kind of disease, so they won't hear us when we're running on the machine. Yeah. The flu pill, that ain't no biggest threat. What about an aging population with no safety net? So we continue to believe everything we read. They just ain't no taste in their use feed.
Weapons of trial and error. We're smiling in terror at the doctor and nurse. Take a hold of yourself and control of your health and say no.
Why don't you go first?
But there's one little word that can save your health.
Just say no.
Say no to the vaccine.
The doctor says he'll make him take it himself.
Say no to the vaccine.
There's one little word that could save your health.
Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
And if Obama says he'll make him take it himself, just say no.
Say no to the vaccine.
Don't get any injections. You never know what's in them. They're all poison.
Put the needle on the record.
And there's no record that they ever prevent anything.
The vaccine manufacturers need approximately 8 to 9 months to produce the amount of vaccine that's going to be required for immunizing the at-risk populations.
Welcome back to the Free Truth Show on These Changing Times Radio with our guest, the lighter side of genocide, Vinnie Eastwood. How are you, Vinnie?
Well, I'm actually really tired, Patrick, to tell you the truth. I've been getting in the habit of staying up late working and then getting up early to start working.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Fighting the New World Order is not only a full-time job, but it doesn't pay very well either. It's like, it's almost like I'm a slave to fighting slave masters or something like that. It's great.
Oh, but
you know, sometimes it just does leave you pretty wiped out, eh?
I used to stay up until it got light, 7:30, so I could film the chemtrail plane spraying early in the morning when it was fairly clear, and I did that for about 3 or 4 days, and then it suddenly dawned on me, why don't I just go to bed at 11 o'clock?
Yeah. Simple solutions, you know. I could stay up till 7 a.m., or I could just wake up at 7 a.m. What do you do all night like that? Let me guess. Watching conspiracy documentaries to pass the time.
Yeah, I look at alien documentaries just as a break, actually. Just to have a break from the New World Order. I like a bit of mystery, you know. I watch silly nonsense about ancient aliens or Viking graves or something. We were talking earlier about Australia becoming the first to ban travellers who refuse naked body scans. When I was flying from Bournemouth International Airport last year, back in the summer, I was going to Florence, and it's always been my lifelong dream to go to Florence, you know. And I was with a lady friend, and beep. I obviously didn't take my belt off or something, and wasn't being a good slave, and they said, we're going to have to pat you down. I said, no, I refuse, I object. Well, we won't be able to let you fly unless we, and all that bullshit, you know. And they did the same to my lady friend, patted me down, and the back of his hand actually touched my genitals, and they're just total perverts. And now Australia's getting them, obviously. This is from February the 5th. The list of assurances from the Australian government via its Orwellian-named Privacy Commission, echoes similar false guarantees issued by America's TSA. Passengers will not appear nude, and the images will be discarded. Yeah, right. However, there is no mention of the cumulative negative. There was no mention of the cumulative negative health effects, particularly to children, of receiving a mandatory mega dose of radiation each time one exercises their right to travel by plane. And the transport minister there is Anthony Albanese. Radiation, big problem there.
Yeah, pretty much. It does give you a pretty mega dose. The sterilant effects of radiation are very well known. So anybody who's traveling around and going through these big, giant, microwave, naked body picture porno machines certainly has to be thinking about whether or not they want to go through them at all. And the problem is now they're giving you a choice between Coke and Pepsi, you know. Both are incredibly toxic and will fracking kill you. And that's your choice, right? You got a choice of either A, massive radiation bath, naked body scanner, and pictures of you, and naked pictures of you, if you're hot enough, will go onto the friendly agent's flash drive, no pun intended. And we'll wind up on the internet somewhere, which you'll probably get royalties for. Or you can be felt up very nicely by one of these devilishly debonair agents of the friendly skies, and they can take you home tonight in fisticuffs. You know, it's just, have you noticed that it's become almost the expected thing to have incredibly unreasonable shit happen to you when you go to an airport, right?
Yeah.
Do I have to wait in line for 4 hours and then check in and then wait for another 2 hours before I get on the plane and then get scanned and then have to take all the stuff out of my pockets and then get a nice little microwave packaged meal that has all the enzymes and everything broken up and split cell membrane soup, you know?
While you're flying through the chemtrails. Through the chemtrails, guys.
If there is any reason for that zeitgeist bullet train, you know, this is it. You won't get groped on your way into it.
Yet.
You know, but on the other hand, there are certain things you can do. For example, if you have some peanut butter and perhaps a cream-style corn and baked beans and an adult diaper, you can lead a nice, healthy trap for these people.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, you can make them feel shameful. While they've got their hands on your nutsack, Patrick, just look down and go, do you see anything you like down there?
So we haven't got the naked body scanners at our local airport yet, which is from about 8 miles from me, but it's in London, it's in Heathrow. Now, the Christmas Day bomber was the main reason why we started getting these scanners that were, funnily enough, all built and ordered and ready to go before the Christmas Day bomber.
Panasonic.
Right. Yeah.
Panasonic and one of the European manufacturing plants have come up with all of these body scanners. And the people who are on advisory panels to the US government after this alleged terrorist underwear bomber attack, etc., were actually people who were employed by the manufacturers of the body scanners and stood to gain quite considerably by their sale and implementation. Can't make stuff
exactly
up.
And by the way, in case you don't know, these machines have a lot of radiation. They alter your DNA, and numerous independent scientists who don't, funnily enough, don't get very far after being telling the truth, tell you that it's altering your DNA. You're being bioengineered as well as being made sterile. The women who are pregnant standing by these machines all day in their uniforms scanning you are having miscarriages. Do not walk through there, and especially do not take your children. I mean, as far as the
stop
Christmas
flying, party, you know, it's coming down to the point now that people are just going to have to stop flying, Patrick, and get all these airlines that are in the arms of these gangster scumbags out of business.
Well, that's what they want. They want people to stop traveling. They don't want the peasants bothering or even being alive anymore, to be honest. State Department admits Detroit Christmas bomber was deliberately allowed to keep U.S. entry visa, board his flight from Webster G. Tarpley. The Detroit Christmas bomber was deliberately and intentionally allowed to keep his U.S. entry visa as the result of a national security override issued by an as-yet-unknown U.S. intelligence or law enforcement agency with the goal of blocking the State Department's planned revocation of that visa. And a sharp-dressed man, accompanied the guy onto the plane with no passport. He had no passport. And apparently a witness heard him say, "It's okay, this is how we do these kind of things. We do this kind of thing all the time. Don't worry about it."
I got a question, Patrick. When the guy was touching your nuts, was he wearing gloves?
No.
No? Okay. Well, here's another element as well to this interesting thing. As if getting irradiated like a piece of fruit isn't bad enough, as if having a naked picture taken off you isn't bad enough. Then we have the other elements of disease spreading. One of the main concerns of biologists from this whole grope people with no gloves sort of thing all over the place is the spreading of flesh-eating bacteria.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. If you get flesh-eating diseases in England, they tell you to go home and take an aspirin.
Yep. Yeah.
Minimal health.
I think that...
Minimal health.
See, the fact of the matter is we all have to stop this, and we don't know how. Is the thing. They staged TSA protests in the United States. Governor Jesse Ventura sued them. Has it stopped? No, it hasn't stopped. Many people have stopped flying. Has it stopped? No, it hasn't stopped. Many airlines are now experiencing huge economic crises as a result of people choosing not to fly. Has it stopped? No, it hasn't stopped. So, ergo, the reason for it is not because they want security, and it's not because it's going to be good for anybody. It's simply to miss stuff up, you know.
Well, to train the public.
What kind of a training system is this? Okay, now, if you were perhaps a prisoner, okay, and you just go into prison. If you've seen the Shawshank Redemption, you know, where they spray them with a hose and throw delousing powder on them, and they march them out naked in front of everybody to see, you know, that kind of thing. Because that's humiliating. Absolutely humiliating. It completely destroys your sense of self-respect and makes you realize that you're a complete prisoner. You go in to this fracking airport, take a naked picture of you, grope your nutsack, and send you merrily on your way. How degrading did it feel to have that happen to you, Patrick?
I was really angry, actually. I was really, really angry, but I still complied because I wanted to go to Florence, you see, knowing full well that that's the way it's supposed to be. If you really want to go, you're going to have to put up with this crap. But never again. Never again. When I went back, they ushered me in when I come back from Florence. It was Group 4 security, which are doing all the security for the Olympics in London, by the way, this year. And Group 4 Security is just a completely criminal organisation, G4S. I remember one bank raid where they were complicit and just let the guys land on top of the roof with a helicopter and just take all the money. And, oh, whoops-a-daisy, sorry. He was new. Our staff there were new. They weren't sure quite what to do. So G4S, I rang up and complained, and she did ring me back with some ridiculous excuses, saying that, when I mentioned naked body scanners also, which aren't there at Bournemouth, but I mentioned how bad they were for your health, really bad. She said, no, they're fine. There's new evidence coming out now that they're fine, actually, la, 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 la. So I got the same stat. You can't even complain to these people. to stop it. So what do you do? I mean, it's been rolling out. Didn't they have it at the Super Bowl? Aren't they going to have it in shops, in shopping malls, in West Bromwich, in London, in West
they
Bromwich?
Even have, north of they England. Even have mobile vans which yeah. scan you while you're just standing on side of the street. Like, you're not even going into any place or anything like that. They just waltz through they just drive through neighborhoods scanning everybody, right? It's like fracking V for Vendetta out there.
In West Bromwich, which is near Birmingham in the north of England, about 4 months ago, to get a bus, this Safer Six, interesting use of numbers, Safer Six campaign had basically a scanner, you know, the normal scanners that you walk through and go beep before the naked body scanners. They had them. They had sniffer dogs. This is to get a bus in the bus station. The mobile unit turns up, police, sniffer dogs, pat downs, walking through whether you beep or not, sniffing you for drugs. And everyone was just complying. It was very sad to see people not even questioning it, you know, with the dogs walking up to them. That. So they're doing little hit teams around the country and around the world, talking about shopping malls. I know it was at the Super Bowl. So it's going to be everywhere soon. And to get out of your certain area within 5 miles, there'll be one on the road. There'll be a checkpoint or something. It's coming. So it seems like we can't stop it by just complaining. I mean, other than...
Well, look at it this way. Imagine a child going up to their parents and complaining about something. Now, can that child force the parent to comply? No. So how much power does that complaint have? Nothing. Imagine the child has a gun.
Yeah.
Okay? This is the point. Something's happening worldwide with gun grabbing. Okay, now for those who are unaware of the importance of the ownership of private citizens and firearms, what does Chairman Mao's China and Pol Pot's Cambodia, Soviet Russia, and Hitler's Germany all have in common?
They all take your guns away.
That's right. And they exterminated everybody. This is what happens when you have a government or any type of entity who wants to take away people's guns. They're planning to kill you all. It's just that simple. You know what's outside the UN in New York? A giant handgun with its barrel all looped up and messed up.
Obviously. I always wondered about the symbolic significance of that.
The symbolism is this. We're going to take your guns away so we can kill you without any resistance.
The United Nations, the UN, one world.
You see, they're just evil scum, and people don't understand this. They think that gun ownership is a bad thing, it's an irresponsible thing, or whatever. And every time there is some kind of like mass gun killing or whatever, I have a look at the facts of the matter, and it's like, okay, well, the problem is all these gun massacres take place in places where they have gun bans, right? Gun bans are supposed to make you safer, and yet statistically, when you have a look at anywhere in the entire planet that has ever imposed a gun ban, gun crime actually goes up. Why? Because the people who are criminals know that the people won't be carrying guns to protect themselves. And criminals don't follow the law to the letter, do they? And they certainly take advantage of people who are defenseless.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're completely defenseless in England. We've been trained since the Second World War, since before and after it, not to have weapons. So we're sitting ducks here. What's the case in New Zealand? Are you allowed to have a weapon?
Yeah. And that was what I was doing last night. I was around with one of my listeners, you know, having a barbecue, drinking a few glasses of wine, looking over his gun collection and stuff like that. You know, he's got a couple of shotguns, semi-automatic rifles, etc., right? And he's the treasurer of the New Zealand Deerstalkers Association. So he's very, very well knowledgeable about guns, gun laws here, that kind of thing. And I was surprised at just how...
Sorry, I was going to ask, are they pushing to take guns away from citizens in New Zealand?
Well, they always have been. And this is the problem everywhere. It's not something that's an isolated incident, is it, Patrick?
Indeed. In America, they've been lobbying for years and years and training people with TV programs that it's okay for the police to burst in and shoot you dead.
Yeah, because the police are obviously trained. They're obviously nice people. They obviously are professionals, and they obviously know what they're doing, and they obviously wouldn't break the law. They obviously wouldn't lie. They obviously wouldn't manipulate. They obviously wouldn't use brutality. Right?
Exactly.
The naivety.
I think it's the Second Amendment in America that allows you to keep guns in case your government becomes rogue.
Yeah, and that's what people mostly forget, is that the reason why you have a gun is not necessarily to protect yourself from other people, but to protect yourself from the government. And there was a guy running for election in the United States a while back. I forget his name. But they asked him, would you take a forced vaccine? And this is before he knew how to give diplomatic answers and all of that kind of stuff. And he says, I'll tell you what, you bring your syringe and I'll bring my 45 and we'll see which makes a bigger hole.
Yeah.
And I feel that that's actually an entirely appropriate response. I'm starting to get militaristic in my thinking to a degree. Not because I want to hurt people or I want chaos or blood in the streets or anything like that, but because I know that I'm currently under, just like everybody else in my country and most countries around the world, under a military dictatorship by ruthless criminal sociopathic scum who will not stop at words. And so we have to be able to defend ourselves. It's not about going out and attacking them. The last thing anybody in the truth movement wants is a hot war. Okay, we don't want to have that whole, oh well, I have to now hide behind this wall because if somebody sees me I'm going to get shot in the head sort of thing. You don't want to live under that kind of fear and stress, and it's the very, very last resort is to use violence. And everybody out there really has to comprehend that violence is not the way forward. It is the way very much backward, okay? And it should never be used, basically. In an ideal world, nobody would ever have to use violence. But the problem is we don't live in an ideal world. We live in a psychopathic world run by criminal, bankster, scum, who have no interest in the common good. No interest in serving people's liberties or rights or freedoms. They only have an interest in exterminating us, dumbing us down, enslaving us, raping our resources, and destroying the planet as a whole. Now, we're not talking about, like, destroy the planet as in global warming or anything like that, but in a very real sense, the planet is currently being destroyed in virtually every single way. Have a look at all the pollution that's being put out into the oceans. In the 60s, I think there was something hundreds of millions of tons of just car tires dumped into the ocean. I saw this picture of this guy, bottom of the ocean, scuba tank on his back,
that kind of thing. Raise sea levels?
Yeah, well, the thing is he could see tires as far as the eye could see underwater, you know? And there's now this kind of plastic soup that's whirling around in the oceans, the Pacific and the Atlantic, and to a lesser extent the southern Indian oceans have the off the coast of South Africa kind of thing. They have these massive churning vortexes of varying stages of degrading plastic sort of particulates. That are all making its way into the food chain.
With all the bisphenol A in virtually every plastic product, you know, that's going to have a massive effect on the hormone systems of the wildlife in the seas.
Well, I mean, that's not the chief concern. The chief concern is all these wildlife are actually eating all this plastic.
okay?
Yeah.
BPA, bear in mind, is something that will affect the hormones. It'll make them a little bit stranger. It turns boys into girls and turns girls into girls with breast cancer, right? It's and makes the periods and sexual development accelerate. That kind of thing. That's what BPA does. So anybody who's eating fish nowadays, and it's my contention that virtually the entire seafood of all the world is now contaminated, whether it be by plastic pollution in the ocean or whether it be by the Gulf of Oil Kano incident with the copious quantities of Corexit 9500 in the water in the Atlantic Ocean, or whether it be Fukushima, which has contaminated virtually the entire Pacific. To the point in which we had a guest on the show the other day, Ben Vigen, telling me that they are now detecting radiation in the normal seawater in New Zealand's coast. So it's right. It really has gotten to the point where there is no place on Earth that is not contaminated by these clowns. They want us all dead in some way, shape, or form. They're perfectly fine with the planet being fracked up, just as long as we die along with it. They've got their perfect supplies of clean food and water and all of that kind of stuff. They got all the technology they want to survive, but they want none of us to be around to enjoy this beautiful, beautiful planet, do they? And that's the psychopathic mindset. I want everything for myself, and I don't want to share it with anybody else.
We were talking about the psychopathic mindset, as you say, with Thomas Sheridan, who's an Irish author and artist. So he's been on a couple of times. He was on last week, and he's written a great book called Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. He's done a massive, extreme, complicated study, of in-depth study of psychopaths and their nature, and they exist within your police force in the lower levels, and you may even know one that's your friend. It's quite common. But the real good ones, for want of a better word, they end up in your parliamentary systems and your chief of police and your Freemasonic orders high up. This is the psychopathic nature. They're able to take money, to make money, and to hell with the consequences of the peasants, if you like. I mean, they probably do have the technology to clean up the earth and within a year and lay it back as a pristine planet. So they're probably not worried about how much they pollute people, as long as the peasants die off. 90% of us, that's United Nations on record projections, that they need to depopulate the planet by 90%. Kissinger, all the major players, Brzezinski. And when we talk about how can we stop this? You know, what can we do? What can we do? Et cetera, et cetera. You only have to look at what Brzezinski said, who's one of the major players, the technocrats. He says, well, the dead will just turn around and eat their own dead. You know, they're quite confident that the majority of people won't get it in time and won't rise up in time and won't stop it in time, and that we'll just turn around and eat our own dead.
Yeah, well, I think just people need to understand their enemy, okay? Your enemy is ruthless, okay? First of all, that's the most important thing that you have to realize, is that they will not go away, which means you have to either A, be willing to die and be a slave, either one of those two. You can either, or you can fight, possibly survive, possibly die. And I feel it really is that clean cut. When it comes down to it, because every single day that you're alive, you are subject to their poisoning mechanisms. Even right now, as we speak, Patrick, you and I, in front of our computers, are being bathed in the New World radiation. Radiation which wouldn't be coming out of these computers if they were designed by people who actually gave a crap about your health, right? Mm. And that's just one of hundreds of things that you will locate in your daily life that are designed specifically to hurt you just a little bit, right? And you got all these hundreds of little bits all stacking on one on top of each other, and they add up to something really, really big and nasty. Cancer! Oh, yeah. There's a lot of cancer going around. Do you know the rate of cancer in New Zealand is, Patrick? 1 in 2.
One in two, yeah. Same in
half
the West.
Half the fracking population is going to get cancer. Now, what was the rate of cancer in the United States in the 1950s?
Probably about 1 in 5 or 10,000.
Yeah. Something like that. I thought it was like 1 in 800.
In fact, right. when I was 15, I'm 41, 42 this month, Valentine's Day. Yeah, when I was 15, I didn't know of anyone who knew anyone that had cancer. Now, everyone I know knows someone who's got cancer.
Or has cancer themselves.
Or has cancer themselves. That, something is to do in our environment. We're being poisoned, folks.
Deliberately. And people ask, you know, well, what can I do about it? And the answer is anything you can. Don't think of it as a rhetorical question. Don't think of it like that at all. Anything you can. If you think that something bad is going on, it is therefore your duty, not your option, not your possibility, but your duty to resist it and to stop it. Now, human beings have considerable power, quite considerable power. People have forgotten this, of course, because we've been brainwashed and propagandized virtually from birth to say that the collective is more powerful and is more necessary to protect than your own self or your own liberties or your own property, etc., right? And I look at it like everybody's got a skill, everybody's got a talent, and it's up to them to figure out how to use that to subvert the New World Order. Me, I have a big mouth. Ergo, I become a radio show host and give promo to people who are doing all the research, because I can't do research for Jack, Patrick, to be honest, you know. I don't like reading documents. I don't like reading articles. I don't like reading government legislation. I don't like reading books, you know. I'll watch a doco. I'll have a chat with somebody who's done all that research, but I don't do it myself. And conversely, the people who do all that research and that kind of stuff and really get deep down into the rabbit hole, they don't like hosting radio shows. They don't like making videos. So what I do is I take the information that they've gotten, which I don't do for myself, and then I put them on my radio show and then do videos with them, sort of thing. This is how a symbiotic relationship and cooperation works for people. Don't underestimate the power of cooperation. It is far more significant than competition ever will be. You have a look at two people working together, they are far more than two people working against each other will ever be. And it's pretty straightforward because, basically, I'm sure that you've collaborated with many people, Patrick, doing radio shows and what have you. And it's always a lot more fun when you're not the only one. And people need to realize that and stick together. Go out and make friends. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Don't spend time with people who don't inspire you. Don't spend time with people who don't believe in you. Don't spend time with people who don't give a flying F about you. Spend time looking for the people who will, if you haven't found them already. Okay? What can I do about it? It is not a rhetorical question. If you are a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you can make a difference. And if you don't think that you personally can go out and make a difference, find the people that are and support them, okay? Donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for $5 a month kind of thing. Help keep me on air. If you don't like my style, if you prefer, say, Alex Jones, for example, I have the documents. You know, that is a great way to go and spend your money, because Infowars.com has been waking people up all over the show. Jones does that all the time, you know. He reads documents. He does the research.
Also cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Alan Watt.
Yeah. And there's a myriad of people out there to support. Now,
He really needs people's help, because I know you do, Vinnie. I mean, how did the move go? You had a bit of a – you needed some help with your move and people were able to help you?
I was so blown away, Patrick. I was I just paid my last $500, okay, off my credit card to pay to get the missus' teeth fixed. We get home that day, we were living with her parents at the time, to say that living with me is intolerable, quote unquote, and that they want us out. They don't want us out, they just wanted me out, right? And my girlfriend really loves me, and she's like, well,
that's just not fair. Okay, I'm going with them. And I had no options left. Okay, no money, no job, no nothing. And I was just totally screwed. And so I threw myself on the mercy of the listeners and I said, I'm moving. I need money because I've just spent the last month money and I'm completely screwed. I need help. I need help. I need help. Within like 72 hours or something, I had close to $2,000 donated. And I was like, whoa. And I had never in a million years thought that I'd get that much. I thought I might have gotten like a few hundred, maybe 500. 1,000 tops over the period of like, I don't know, a month. That's what I expected. I didn't expect something so big so quickly by so many people. Some people donating 200, some people donating $100, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It totally blew me away. But at the same time, it burdened me because I know now that people really do listen to me, that people really do value the radio show, that people really do watch my YouTube channel. And they don't just watch it for entertainment value or anything. They think it's actually incredibly important.
Yeah.
And it gave me that impetus to up my game. You know, that's why I'm now, every time I go on people's radio shows or even doing my own radio show, I'm now recording my webcam so that I can turn that into a YouTube video for people so that people will have even more content. Because when you're listening to radio shows on YouTube, for example, it's a lot better and easier to watch if you can actually see the person talking rather than just the audio sort of thing. So I'm just basically up in my game, making sure that I'm serving people to the best of my abilities every single day. That's why I'm going to bed so late, is because I stay up late organizing my radio show for the next day. And that's also why I'm getting up so early in the morning to go on other people's radio shows. I mean, I may be sleep deprived. I may be burning myself out. But, man, it's fun.
Yeah. Well, a big thank you to everybody who helped, Vinny. I'm pretty sure I mentioned it a couple of times to get in touch with you, that you need help. And it is fulfilling knowing that what you're doing is important, that people feel that it's important enough to donate, you know, that much. I mean, it must have been quite a shock for you, you know.
Well, speaking of which, I just had a confirmation this morning. A guy got in contact with me, like, I think about a month ago or something, just after I'd moved. And he said, you know, we want to support you. I work at an internet company, and I want to pay for your broadband. And so I said, okay, well, this is the broadband plan that I'm on. It's $60 a month. I'm getting unlimited broadband. And right now I am using it. And what he's done is he's gone around. They got about seven people that work at that one company who all listen to my show. So they're all chipping in to pay my internet bill, which is $60 a month.
Fantastic.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Man, oh, my God.
That's awesome.
And I feel really humbled, which is rare for me, because I'm a very arrogant former salesman.
Some people don't like to speak out. They are concerned that they may lose their job or they may be ostracized or thought a bit kooky, and they'd rather stick some money in the can than put themselves on the line. But most people, there's a lot of hiding behind names and user IDs and things. There's not many of us doing what we're doing, is there? You know.
Well, again, that doesn't matter, because you've never, in history, it's usually been a ratio of between 1% and 4%. That's all you need in order to change the world, basically. Between 1% and 4%. Because the other 99% to 96% usually just go along with whatever that small determined minority tells them to do. Okay? And it's the exact same thing today with tyranny and all of that. It's not the huge masses of humanity who want tyranny, who are working towards tyranny, that you've got to worry about. It's the very small determined 1%. 0.00033% at the very top, who are concocting all these plans, who are laying out the roadmap for tyranny. Those are the ones you've got to worry about. But And again, you don't have to worry about waking up the masses. Everybody talks about waking up the masses. And I'm just going, why? What the frack is the point in waking up the masses? They don't matter. They've never mattered. Every time that tyranny has ever been overthrown, it's always been overthrown by a very small amount of people. Every time. It's impossible for the majority to be awakened because it's never happened before. At the very least, it is possible to shepherd the masses by placing yourself in the shepherding position and saying...
I've had the internet before, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the internet is the wild card here, though. It might actually be possible to have a mass awakening. But again, what would you consider a mass awakening? Would you consider a mass awakening be enough people waking up to the New World Order to defeat it? Again, you only need a very small minority. You don't need...
10% would be just good enough, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, Chairman Mao took over China with 1% popular support.
Right.
Okay. How many people voted in the US election to elect Barack Obama? Like 25% of the population voted at all, and only 12-13% of those voted for Barack H. O'Barry? Okay, so again, minorities are very, 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 very powerful. Never underestimate the power of a small, determined group of people. And the truth movement, I think, is starting to grow in power and influence, namely through the internet. And that's why these scumbags, basically, in the government and New World Order banking systems and what have you, are passing legislation like the NDAA, which strips Americans of all of their rights to, freedom from, well, basically, being just black-bagged and disappearing, without due process. That's the law now. And
a slaughter now. It's absolutely incredible just how far along the line we are, as Alex Jones says. We've got a question here, a comment really, a request from I Am Not a Number One channel, YouTube, and Suspend also on YouTube, wondering if the show can highlight the children's plight worldwide, the care system being corrupt, etc. Now, I know in England we have state-sponsored kidnapping, paedophilia rings run by the local councils, and the same...
100,000. 100,000 kids a year get kidnapped in the UK and go missing. And in the United States, 400,000. In New Zealand, I don't know the statistics here, but our child protection racket is a very, very corrupt and disgusting one indeed. Well, they're all corrupt and disgusting, true, but New Zealand, you don't expect it, of course, and that's the reason why this country is so corrupt. It's like, in fact, I'd even wager to say it's almost as corrupt, if not more corrupt, than the Uber Kingdom or the USSA at the moment, namely because it's a very small clique here, Our judges, for example, most of them are related, first cousins and stuff like that. And in our Supreme Court, where there's only 8 judges, 2 of them are a husband and wife. Conflict of interest is the name of the game. That's why in any family court where the state can take your children off you, there are no reports allowed to be made, no recordings allowed to be made. No justice, no jury, just straight child kidnapping pedophile rings, criminals. That's basically it. I cannot make it any clearer than that. They are a criminal pedophile ring. That's what family services are.
In the US, they just make up stories about you. In England, they just make up stories about you being bad parents or any excuse. They lie to get hold of your kids. They're almost...
There was an instance in England where...
It probably is to order, actually, on individual cases.
Well, there was some lady in England who, after she'd just recently given birth, a child protective services worker came around to her house and said to her... And she said to her, just jokingly, like, it means I just gave birth, so I've lost my figure. She used that as a justification for taking her kid off her.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't an isolated incident. It's happening everywhere. The plight of children everywhere and to the hands of the state is the name
of the game.
You take them out of school too, actually. Actually, take them out of school, because the brainwashing that's going on there, and a lot of the teachers, many of the teachers in child caring positions or CPS services or whatever, are actual paedophiles themselves. It's the percentage is through the roof of that. So
In New Zealand, the percentage is about 50-50. About half the people who work for child services are paedophiles. That's according to some of the activists that I know here in New Zealand who have been exposing this hardcore. Like, in fact, one time I went round to a child services house in Glen Innes. It's not a very affluent suburb by any stretch of the imagination. They had 8 child services kids in a garage, okay, in a house where they were dealing pure methamphetamine out the door and hiring these kids out to local pedophiles. He took his truck, took a chain, and he ripped the door off of that garage, and he saved those kids, okay? And when the people started to go, "Oh, what the heck's going on here?" He was practically knighted. You know, people loved him for doing it because they all knew in the neighborhood that it was going on, but they didn't do anything, right? And this is the problem with pedophiles and criminals, is that people often don't have that impetus or the cojones to actually go out and go, okay, let's knock these people's teeth out before they give us a bite. They don't do that anymore. We're cowardly, slave society. It's very sad.
Well, intergenerational sex is the new term for pedophilia. They're gently introducing it into the psyche of the public mind through the media. Kinsey's Pedophiles, they made a nice, lush Hollywood film about it with the guy who was in Schindler's List. But really, Kinsey's work, for which he had a royal charter for from the Queen, to abuse children and experiment on them, that was in the 30s and 40s. And now everything's okay. They've made transsexuality normal. And after the paedophilia, apparently, when that's normalized in the public's mind and everything's okay, and they legalize paedophilia, call it intergenerational sex, it's bestiality next, folks, you know. So at what point are we going to say enough is enough? Well, it's not going to happen.
Enough is already enough, don't you think? Like, the line in the sand has already been drawn, it's already been crossed, and people just really need to realize about where to take that back. And you know where the term line in the sand comes from, Patrick?
I forget now.
The Alamo.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
When they were when they were organizing to defend the outpost, the general or whoever was in charge at the moment, I'm not sure if it was David Crockett or something like that, said to the guys, "Look, there's no way we can survive. Okay, there's no way. The enemy force is too big. So I've officially discharged you all from duty. You don't have to fight. You can go." And then he takes his sword out and he draws a line in the sand. And he says, "I will stay behind. And if necessary, I will defend this outpost by myself. Anybody who wants to stay here and defend this outpost with me, cross over to this line in the sand." And that's where it comes from. It's about giving up your life to defend your territory, right? And people have no concept of what's good and what's bad anymore, because I don't know, maybe they've just been brainwashed very, 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 very well. And a lot of people are afraid to fight back. They say, "Well, if I start a radio show, if I start blogging or anything like that, they might come and get me, they might target me, they might take my kids, they might take my property." Huh?
They're going to come and get everybody anyway.
That's exactly the point. You know, people like travel to different countries and stuff to get away from the new world order. You know, it's classic.
Actually, it's like, I saw, well, I was looking for chemtrail pictures. I was looking for evidence of chemtrails in Mongolia recently, and I must have looked at 100 pictures of Mongolia, and I couldn't see one picture with chemtrail in it. I thought, right, I'm moving to Mongolia, outer Mongolia or something, you know, but people, you know, my family and friends are here, are still going to be left choking, so might as well stay here and fight the new world order where I am.
As opposed to living in the Free Truth radio show tent.
With a big antenna coming out of the bibbywhack.
Yeah. And like you have yaks on treadmills to provide the electricity for your computer parts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Welcome to the Free Yak Show.
Yeah. Welcome to the Free Yak Show, where we do the show with our shirt off.
Yeah.
To fit in with the local wildlife.
Eye scans. Border Patrol staff, New Zealand, will be able to use iris scans. Not Irish scans. And fingerprinting to check passengers' identities under major changes to New Zealand immigration rules. This is on the 7th month of 2008. Despite criticism from Amnesty International, totally controlled, at the level of secrecy permitted, the changes look set to become law, with the National Party pledging its support. National Party immigration spokesman Dr. Lockwood Smith acknowledges the bill's provision for using biometric information would be a little bit controversial, but said it would speed up passenger processing and ultimately benefit New Zealanders. It's all...
Sure. You know, I've met this guy, Lockwood Smith.
Yeah.
And he's the Speaker of the House, right? And of course, when you're the Speaker of the House, you're supposed to allow everybody to speak and that kind of thing. Well, what point are you going to let the people know or ask them about this kind of thing, right? This is the thing. Government never, ever, 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 ever passes laws that are good for you. Okay? It just doesn't happen. Patrick, can you riddle me this? When was the last time your government passed a law where you actually saw some kind of benefit?
Nope. See, right out of answers there.
See? It's just that simple. Every time they pass a law, people need to protest, you know? Every time they even think about passing a law, people need to protest. But again, even if you protest, what are they going to do? Nothing. I don't care. My whole political system is crapped. It drives me nuts. Okay, quite literally, because I'm watching my country inch by inch be taken. That line in the sand is getting further and further and further behind me. I'm sitting here and I'm like an enemy territory in my own fracking living room. Goodness knows how many agents are listening to this broadcast right now saying, oh, there's Vinnie Eastwood, he's a naughty boy. Look at him. He's getting angry. He's getting upset. Oh, well, maybe we could use that to demonize him later on. Yes, and be fantastic. We'll tell people that he violently assaulted a prime minister or something like that. These people are scum, total scum, who have no concern whatsoever for privacy. They don't care about the people of this country at all, do they? If they did care, they wouldn't be doing 99.99999% of the stuff that they're doing. I don't see any benefit in even having a government anymore.
No.
Okay? Government's supposed to do that, to be there to... It's supposed to be there to do the things that you can't do for yourself, okay? Like protect you from invasion, for example. That would be a reason to have a government there. But problem is, that's where it stops. They don't have any benefits anymore, okay? The government giving you money if you're unemployed or whatever, you wouldn't be unemployed if the government wasn't taxing all your businesses into the ground.
Exactly.
If you have... government benefits to do, taxes on petrol, per se. We now have emissions trading schemes here in New Zealand. We pay 5 cents a litre. We pay 5% up to 5% or something like that on our power bills, which are going to increase incrementally anyway. We had GST, goods and services tax, on absolutely everything. Now at 15%, they're talking about making it 17%. At the point where people are getting taxed and earned or whatever, it's coming to it where like you wonder what the frack is going to be the point in working anymore. I'm only going to get like 10% of my wages, and I'm not even going to be able to spend that on anything that I want to do. I'm going to have to spend it on bills that I'm catching up because I'm getting in debt while I'm working.
That is the whole point, actually, is to bring you down. These austerity measures, you ain't seen nothing yet. They're to bring us down to absolute poverty, where the only money that we're allowed to have will only be able to give it back to them. We'll have enough money to eat if we're lucky, if these guys get their way, New World Order, and that'll be it. Rations are coming. They're bringing in rations. They've been working on rations being brought in worldwide. The Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, have been sitting down at think tanks for 15 years. It's coming. So ignore your government? No, because if you ignore the government and don't comply with them, etc., they've still got the weapons. They've still got the military. They've still got the police. So, I mean, these are questions that perhaps you couldn't openly speak about on air. But, you know, the listeners must be beginning to wonder now what options are left for them. Now, I've reached a stage after 3 years of broadcasting where I've always been an all-or-nothing kind of bloke anyway in everything I do. And I've got to the stage now, and right in the middle of my talk, I couldn't believe I was saying it. I gave a talk on chemtrails the other day at a hotel. About 30, 40 people turned up. It's my second talk. It's on YouTube on Free Truth Show. Please check it out. It's a two-hour talk, and right in the middle of it, I found myself saying, well, look, we're on our own now. Your government is so corrupt and has such evil intentions for society that they... We literally have to now ignore the government. We're on our own. Ignore the press. They won't help us. The CFR controlled around the planet. Council on Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of International Affairs. So press, government, forget about it. We have to appeal to the public directly. Also, I found myself saying, and this is what I found myself saying, we have to now approach the military. We now have to approach the police and say, look, we really need your help. We know what's coming, and we want to educate you and tell you what's coming and what you're going to be part of, shooting on your own citizens. We need your help now to arrest your superiors, to, you know, by force if need be. Not violence, but just you're coming with us, you're complicit, you're a traitor. We need to arrest you, General Schwarzkopf or whatever. Because it's stranger than fiction. You can't even write this stuff. That's how bad it's got. That's how desperate it is now. We have to appeal to the military, and we have to appeal to the police, because they have all the weapons. And while they have all the weapons, and it's in the wrong hands and being directed by people with the wrong intentions, with the worst intentions, we don't stand a chance. We're talking
about cutting out the middleman
in this generation.
Yeah. See, the government and the media always act as the middleman between people, you know? If you want to be, I don't know, get a message out or whatever, you usually have to go through some kind of medium to do it, whether or not you're going into the courts to try and prove it, to get a law revoked or something like that, or whether you're going on the air in the media or whatever, breaking a story or something like that. I say cut out the middleman, okay? These people are no longer relevant. They don't represent us. They probably never have, to tell you the truth. And so it's about getting the information out directly to the public and allowing them to access it directly. Like, for example, in the United States and the rest of the world, you can go out and you can hand out DVDs and flyers directly to the public. How novel is that? Do you know what happens if you try to do that in Auckland, New Zealand?
Oh, yeah, I remember
you
when
get
you were
your stuff.
Weren't you arrested for handing out leaflets or something?
It is illegal. If you've got DVDs or flyers or a megaphone and you're using them in a public space, giving people information, that is illegal in Auckland. okay? Under pain of having your stuff confiscated, including your cameras and your megaphone and all of that kind of stuff, and you won't get them back, and then you get prosecuted as well, okay? This is just fracked. It's unbelievable. And as a patriotic person, it is understandably quite angering, because you know that once these rights are gone, it's virtually impossible to get them back.
Ooh, you're a patriot. Ooh, you patriot scum. Oh, that's so old-fashioned, Vinny. You need to get modern. You need to modernize your worldview, Vinny. It's old-fashioned. Sovereignty doesn't exist anymore. It's no longer relevant. And as Herman Van Rompuy, the current president, unelected of the European Union, has openly said, anyone who thinks that they're in a sovereign nation now is lying. You know, even Hitler doesn't go this far.
Yeah. Well, Hitler did a lot of things that the government is now doing pretty easily. Just a flick of the wrist, whatever. Papers, please. For example, you go into any government building in the United States now, you have to show your real ID card, otherwise they won't let you through the door. That's the kind of stuff that they want. They're starting up checkpoints all over the place with men wearing combat fatigues, carrying M4 carbine machine guns, pulling your tubes of blood without a warrant kind of thing, right? And they've got these TSA checkpoints on the highways now, where they are radiation dosing the trucks that come through. Oh, just in case there's a bomb in there or something like that. Never mind that all the food or any perishable items in there are getting cooked up in microwave radiation. That's fine, you know? The insanity of it is beyond a joke. It's beyond insane. It's beyond sociopathy. It is beyond psychopathy. It is beyond anything that anybody could ever conceive of with a reasonable and decent mind, because it's only the sickest, most sinister scumbaggery minds that come up with all this crap, right? You know, you would never, never, ever dream of the society that they got planned for us, unless, of course, you've read 1984 or Brave New World. The reason why 1984 and Brave New World seem to mimic our society so much is because both the guys who wrote those books, Orwell and Huxley, were members of the Fabian Society. They knew that this was the plan. This wasn't just some work of fantasy and some great writing or whatever. This was the 100% plan. They want you under surveillance 24 hours a day. They want constant war. They want to destroy your family. They want to dope you up and entertain you so that you'll be completely distracted from all the real affairs of the world, so that you will be completely ineffective to fight what's coming, okay? And you have a look around society. Frack, we're already there. It already is Brave New World. It already is 1984. It can only get worse and more literal.
I've taken some time out to study these psychopaths' writings, and it's all there, and Huxley admitted himself. Oh, by the way, that wasn't fiction. Soon you're going to learn to love your slavery, and you'll be happy. The vaccinations are another thing that dumb you down, sterilize you, give you cancer or death straight away if you're really unlucky. All part of the depopulation process. Depopulation. What do you think population control actually means? Doesn't Australia have a population control minister?
Didn't know.
No, I think it's Australia. I mean, we have David Attenborough here, Sir David Attenborough, now knighted by the Queen, is a patron of the Optimum Population Trust. So for years he's been talking about, ooh, isn't it wonderful, survival of the fittest on the plains of Africa. So while he's been cavorting around on television with gorillas, his actual real intent is to be a front man for depopulation. Now he's pushing it all on the internet and on the TV with Prince Philip, who says, yeah, I'd like to come back as an airborne virus to get rid of humanity. And then you got Bill Gates, another psychopath, front man, didn't make his own money, bollocks, standing up and saying, yeah, if we do a really good job on vaccinations, we can reduce the world's population by this percentage and that percentage, et cetera, et cetera. Woo-wee, we're having fun now, boys. You know, it's all over the newspapers.
The people who you look up to are ultimately the people who look down on you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, we're flying so high, they look like ants from up here. They are ants. You know?
Please don't take your vaccines, folks. Please don't give your children any more vaccines of any kind or medication if you can spare. If you can stay off medication altogether for anything, even if you get a cold and you want to take some Lemsip or something, don't take anything.
Lemsip's got aspartame in it. Companies.
Anything that comes from the pharmaceutical companies. Who owns most of the pharmaceutical companies? Rockefeller.
New World Order.
Rockefeller. A big eugenicist, a big eugenics guy.
Yeah, yeah. And have a look back at the history on things if you don't believe us, okay? You know how the Rockefeller family got their wealth?
By shooting people in tents.
No, even better. Selling, and this is not a joke here, selling snake oil.
Snake oil, yeah.
Quite literally. Big Bill Rockefeller is the ultimate primarch of the Rockefeller family, and he was a snake oil salesman. He'd go into town, cure your baldness. It'll stop your erectile dysfunction. It'll give you magical powers, etc. And after he scammed everybody and skipped town, they all realize that they've been scammed. But hey, he's long gone, and he's got all their money too. And he was a bit lazy though, Big Bill Rockefeller. So what he did is he recruited other snake oil salesmen to go and scam towns for him, and then took a cut out of all of these people. And before he knew it, he was a very wealthy con artist. And so he started putting his money into oil, and that's where the Rockefeller alleged old money comes from.
Yeah.
Mostly because, and the reason why Rockefeller became America's first billionaire is because there used to be several oil companies operating in the U.S. at the time. Rockefeller bought out barrel production. He bought all the barrels that were currently existed on the market, all the wooden barrels that they were putting the oil in, that kind of thing. So as competition weren't able to barrel their oil, weren't able to sell it, and then when their share prices were crashing and they were virtually going out of business, Rockefeller bought them out for pennies on the dollar. And it's come to my conclusion. I've come to the conclusion that you cannot become obscenely wealthy without engaging in scumbaggery. Okay, but you can't do it. You name me one billionaire who hasn't made money off of ripping people off, exploiting people, destroying things, or just crapping over everybody in order to get to the top. You can't do it. Okay, you know, closest person you could come to would be Richard Branson, right? Virgin Records. What do record companies do? Oh yeah, that's right. They give their artist frack all of a cut of their DVD and CD sales, and then they keep all the money for themselves. Okay, so you can't win in this world unless you're a scumbag who's willing to destroy and kill and maim and that kind of thing. And it's coming to the point now where I'm thinking, you know, anybody who's getting well up there needs to be taken down, not just a peg, but quite a few. Okay, if anything, that I'm not sure if there should be a maximum amount of wealth, because that's just arbitrary, right? I just think that if people are engaging in scumbaggery, they should pay for it, and if necessary, with their lives, because these people are dangerous creatures, okay? If you are a billionaire like Bill Gates, and you are giving lots and lots of money to eugenics programs that sterilize people in Africa, you are a criminal of the highest order, and you need to be arrested and go to jail for a long, long time. But there are no jails for these kind of people. There are no courts for these kind of people. There are no cops for these kind of people either. The law is bottom up. Okay, it's meant to suppress the people at the bottom while leaving those at the top away. Okay, some black guy mugs a white woman in New York and takes $100 out of her wallet. He goes to jail for 8 years. Bernie Madoff or goodness knows how many other massive white collar criminals steal $1 billion, you know, or in Tyco, three people took $1 billion or something like that. Okay, how much time do they spend in prison? A heck of a lot less time than the guy who stole $100. We can't even fathom that amount of money. We cannot even fathom that amount of damage. And yet, when you're trying to go and punish these people, you would expect that the punishment should suit the crime. If you steal anywhere over and above, you know, $1 million or anything like that, you are a huge, huge criminal. And you should be treated as such. You shouldn't be escorted out of your office building nicely, just doing the perp walk in handcuffs or anything like that. They should be jumping on you, going, get down on the ground, pepper spray in the face, bat into the back of the head, police brutality on. That's about when you could ever conceivably justify it, and you can't justify it anyway because it's just fracking sociopathy begets sociopathy. If you're teaching cops to beat people rather than talk to them, that kind of thing, it's not a good society. If you're teaching people that being a billionaire criminal is a good thing, but being, you know, somebody who's barely subsisting on criminality is a bad thing, no wonder we have a topsy-turvy, completely fracked up society. You know, I have little faith that any of this kind of BS that is being shelled out to people by the government or by the wealthy elites or anything like that, I have zero faith that these things are going to correct themselves on their own. So I've decided to take personal responsibility. It's the only way forward is for everybody to know 100% that you are the person who is powerful enough to stop all of this from happening. You and you alone. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You don't have a choice anymore. They're going to kill you. They're going to steal everything from you. What rationalization can you come up with for doing nothing in the face of that? The answer is, you fracking can't. So stop trying. Stop trying to make excuses.
Stop rationalizing.
Stop trying to avoid it. Start charging headlong into the belly of the beast and hack its guts up from the inside, because they will do exactly the same, if not worse, to you. And you don't have a choice in the matter anymore.
I think the information that we're getting out to the public is hurting the New World Order. It's not stopping the weapons being aimed at us, and it's not stopping the pharmaceutical companies making the vaccines or adding the fluoride to the water, but at least we're informing people that they can at least stay healthy enough to be at the point, at some point, we may need healthy people around to defend ourselves. So I think the great cause now is to inform people to stay as healthy as possible, because people can make a choice about whether they drink fluoride or not. People can make a choice whether they take the vaccine or not. Before, they didn't know that it was harmful for them. Now they do, and millions more people around the globe are healthier as a result of it. Okay, the chemtrails are pouring down on us. But until such time as we need to defend ourselves seriously, we can stay healthy. I mean, this is from 2009. I know you have to go in about 10 minutes, Vinny, so I appreciate all the time you've spent with us. But this is from the International Medical Council on Vaccination, 2009, June 21st, from Lorraine Day, MD. It's a great article. I'm going to put it in the Skype, so hopefully Kat can put it in the chat box on the East Changing Times radio website. But an alarming observation comes from a London practitioner of excellent reputation and long-term experience, Dr. Herbert Snow, senior surgeon at the Cancer Hospital of London, voiced his concern. And I quote, "In recent years, many men and women in the prime of life drop dead suddenly, often after attending a feast or a banquet. I am convinced that some 80% of these deaths are caused by the vaccinations they have undergone. They are well known to cause grave and permanent disease to the heart. The coroner always hushes it up as natural causes." Another practitioner, Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana, says that cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced.
I told my brother that the other day, Patrick, and I talked about Dr. Mary's monkey, how they are manufacturing cancer viruses to put in the vaccine. He's a trained chiropractor. You know, they know a lot about health and everything like that. He didn't even know that cancer was a virus. okay? And I told him that as soon as vaccine schedules started going up, cancer started becoming quite prolific. And he goes, oh, that's a bit of a stretch to go, to say, you know, as soon as vaccination started, cancer started going up. And I go, okay, well, have you seen the videos on YouTube of the vaccine manufacturers laughing about how they put cancer viruses in the vaccines? This is real. This is going on. Just because you don't understand the psychopathic mindset doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Even if you don't understand maths, doesn't mean it doesn't exist, okay? You know, it's pretty straightforward. Exactly. Be aware, and more to the point, do like I do. Assume that everything you know to be true is actually wrong, and simply wait around for the evidence to be presented.
It usually does present itself. Mm-hmm. Vinnie Eastwood, you've been a spectacular guest as ever, and thank you for your information, and thank you for your work towards humanity generally. Humanity thanks you for your soul, man. And I hope you can come back and join us again soon.
Anytime, Patrick. Love chatting with you, bro.
It's great chatting with you. Thanks for your time tonight. I know it's...
I'm going live in about 10 minutes' time. If anybody's listening in, you can listen to me live at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, or you can join us in the chat room at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. My guests today are Frank Collins and Albert Burgess in the second hour. I'm pretty sure you must have heard of Albert Burgess, Patrick.
Actually, no, I haven't. No, sorry.
You'll love him, mate. Old school, Bobby on the beat kind of guy. He's now a French polisher, and he is arresting judges in the UK who are engaging in scumbaggery. Very, very interesting dude.
Yeah. Surprised I haven't heard of that. I will be listening to your show. It's always good. Always, always.
Had him on a few times. Had him on a few times before. Last time he had breathed in some of his French polish sort of stuff, and he had a really nasty, nasty cough. Like that, yeah. Except much, much worse. So we'll see if he's any better tonight. Anyway, Patrick, thank you very much. I've got to go and prepare for my show and take a WikiLeak.
God bless you. All the best, Vinny.
Right. Cool, mate.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Vinny Eastwood from The Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And you are listening to The Free Truth Show on thesechangingtimesradio.ning.com. What an amazing guy. An inspiration. And I can tell you, folks, that everything that guy has said is absolutely true. If you do your own research, you'll come to the same conclusions. I can guarantee it. We are under a massive war on humanity. And it's survival time, folks. And while we've got the internet, while we can use it before they create some cyber attack, false flag attack, while we can use the internet, please do it as much as you can and alert people to what's going on above their heads with the chemtrails and the HAARP. Chemtrails were being sprayed with toxic chemicals from unmarked aircraft in every country across the world. If you don't believe me, look it up yourselves.